And I hope everybody, you're all reading the Psalms and discovering new things and or remembering things that you'd forgotten and Psalms that you haven't read for a while. Hope you're getting a lot of encouragement out of it. I know we are. So we heard from Chris at the beginning of our series that the Psalms are a toolbox for us. They give us ways of expressing ourselves to God and they help us to communicate with God. The Psalms are heartfelt expressions from an individual or a community towards God. They use poetic, expressive language that isn't literal. So when some of the psalmists say, I'm being pursued by my enemies, now in David's life, that might have been true, and he will have written that, and that will have been going on. But for some of the psalms, that was an expression of just how they felt they were being overtaken by life circumstances or an accumulative amount of difficulties that they were feeling, felt like they were being besieged by their enemies. So not necessarily literal. And they use emotional language that can help us express the deeper things that are within us. We'll talk about that a bit later. So an emotion is something to be engaged with. That's what the Psalms help us to see. Emotion is something to be engaged with, not avoided. Hilton and I were chatting earlier, and those of us who are British English needs to stop being British English when it comes to emotion expression before God. We need to just let it all out. And the Psalms help us to do that. And that's one of the reasons why they are very loved by many, many people. They help us express ourselves, but they also change us. As faith grows, as we connect with God through the words of the Psalms, and as we learn to express ourselves. So we've looked at the Psalms that praise God for who he is. Jeremy helped us with that. And then last week, Mike helped us to understand the Psalms of history and salvation, the storytelling Psalms. I thought that was great last week. I really enjoyed that. So this week, we're going to look at the Psalms of lament. And I really had a great time, actually, when I was researching this. I knew straight away when we talked about doing this series, when we looked at which areas we wanted to kind of zone in on, this was something I really wanted to talk about, because this is real in my life. This means something to me because it's part of my experience. But it was really great doing a bit more study, a bit more research. I looked at some excellent websites. The Evangelical Alliance website has a lot to say about lament right now, guys. So I would really recommend everybody look at the Evangelical Alliance website. They're talking a lot about lament because as a nation, as a whole world, we've lost a lot, haven't we, in this last year? And so there's a lot of sorrow, there's a lot of sadness around. And as a church, we can help one another express that towards God, and we can support one another as we go through those emotions. So the Evangelical Alliance website was excellent. I listened to podcasts, I read through this book again, which we've talked about, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, gives a really good overview of different aspects of the Bible, different topics and themes that are in there. I really recommend that book. That was really helpful to help me develop my own understanding of what lament actually means and what the Psalms of Lament are there to help us with. The Psalms of Lament form the largest group of Psalms that there are in terms of topic or theme. There are more than 60 Psalms of Lament in the Book of Psalms, and some of them are individual, some of them are corporate expressions of the heart. So, if you just unmute for a second or two, what do we know by lament? What does it mean? What is that word, to lament? What does it mean? Let's have some ideas. What do you think?
It means pour out.
Say again?
Pour out.
To pour out?
An outpouring as well. Yeah.
Definitely an outpouring. An outpouring of what?
To have a moan.
Yay! Is it an outpouring of hooray?
No. Regret?
No.
Not always.
Lamenting is about having a moan at God, particularly in the Psalms.
Yeah.
Probably we could ask Jeremiah about it.
Mm-hmm. Or Job.
Yeah. Jeremiah is actually called Lamentations. So.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yes, yes. Oh, of course. So, okay, then we get the idea. To lament is not a celebration. It's an outpouring of sorrow, of sadness, of distress, of grief. So the dictionary definition of lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. So passionate, that's not like a, oh, I'm feeling a bit pants today. That's not, that would not be my expression of passionate, I have to say. I'll be like, ah, I can't take this, and God, I need your help. That would be my passionate expression sometimes. So it's a passionate expression. It's not just a little trickle of something. It's an outpouring. That's what a lament is. Mm. Sometimes you see it actually some of the Eastern cultures when they're grieving and you see the outpouring of their sorrow. In England, I guess we would stand and we would weep quite silently mostly. But in some of the Eastern cultures, they weep, they rock backwards and forwards, they groan, they moan, they cry out. That would be part of my understanding of what a lament of grief would look like. So how do people normally and generally express their sorrow or distress? Let's have a think about that. What do we do when we're feeling some of this stuff? It's inside us. You know, where this year, it's been such a rubbish year in terms of what we've been able to do and who we've been able to see, where we've been able to go. All of that has been restrained, restricted and stopped. So some of the expressions, I guess, we might see, we might hear a lot of anger and rage, if depending on how people are free in their expression. We've seen protest. We've seen violence. We've seen lots of tears this year. We've known that people get depressed when they're carrying a lot of distress. People withdraw from everybody else. I can't cope. I'm just going to keep to myself. People get frustrated. People look for other ways of dealing with the distress, don't we? We, as a people, we find ways of filling the hole. So some people will have drunk lots of alcohol. Some people may have done lots of internet shopping to fill that little empty distress that's in there, all that sorrow that's in there. They've tried to make themselves feel better. Some people have trailed the internet. Some people have binge watched box sets. I've seen lots of that on the internet. People have done that. Some people have just railed and raged within themselves, but have contained it. Some people have eaten themselves till they're sick because they're just trying to, we try to find ways of dealing with our feelings that are not always helpful because we haven't expressed them in the way that is helpful. And I think probably all of us, if we were honest with ourselves, would have used one or two of those ways of filling the gap of dealing with or hiding from some of those emotions in our lives. And I know in my life, I've used some of those ways of escaping from my emotions, shall we say. But I know that they're only a very temporary measure to deal with the distress. Or the sorrow or the anger or the frustration or whatever it is, whatever else I do, I know it's only a very, very short-term fix and actually not a fix at all. It's just a cover over. Mm-hmm. It's not really a fix at all. But thankfully, God understands us and he knows how we are made. And you can read Psalm 139 and it just tells you all about that, how God's put us together. He knows every atom of our being. He understands us. And he knows that we need his help to deal with our difficulties and distresses. And he doesn't leave us alone to cope. He doesn't want us to cope alone. He wants us to turn to him. And that's what the Psalms of Lament are all about. So the biblical definition of lament. Lament is a prayer of pain that leads to trust as people look to God for help in the midst of their sorrow. I'm going to say that again. Lament is a prayer of pain that leads to trust as people look to God for help in the midst of their sorrow. And I've got this from one of the books that I read. It is a divinely given invitation. I thought that was wonderful. A divinely given, a God-given invitation to pour out our fears, frustrations, and sorrows for the purpose of helping us to renew our confidence in God. Yes, it helps. It helps to get it out. It really does help to express how we feel. It helps release that all that pent-up emotion. But that's not what it's all about. That's not the beginning and end of it. It is to help us grow in our confidence, or to renew our confidence in God. So lament can be individual, as I've said. We can use it to express our personal feelings of distress, struggle, disappointment, and suffering, but always with a deep trust in God to help us. Lament can be corporate, where a person or a group of people might express their feelings of distress or frustration or sorrow on behalf of another nation or another group of people that we see are suffering. Like, you know, we've talked about that already this morning. Thank you, Chris. You know, the whole where we see injustice being done to a group of people, or where we see even now the poverty in the world and the way that the COVID vaccine is not being distributed across the world. It's not fair. We can cry out to God our frustration about those things and ask him to come in and do something about it. So it can be corporate. And we saw, as obviously last week, as Mike was talking, lament is part of the story of the people who follow God throughout the Bible. We see in the Bible story, we see that they went through painful times. They went through scary, uncertain experiences and times when we can see that they cried out to God for help. They poured out their distress and they cried out, God, do something. We can't do this. We can't get through this. We haven't got an answer, but you have. There's that. There's the distress. There's the trust in God. And we see that all the way through the Old Testament, especially. We can see that as we follow the people, as they look to God. But lamenting is not just a listing out of a series of complaints. God, it's not fair. Why is this happening to me? I've got this going on and I'm struggling with that. And this doesn't happen to other people, but it's not just about that. God wants to hear that. He doesn't mind us calling out our frustrations. He's big enough to take it. But it's more than that. It is a transformative journey. As we go from that place of distress, frustration, anger, pain, whatever, as we pour that out to God, actually we're confessing a faith in God to do something about what we're experiencing or what we're feeling. The frustration, the sorrow, the deep cries ends with a praise declaration that only God can come and do something about it. And that's only God can do amazing things. That's why lament in the Psalms is so wonderful. It's an honest expression of pain, sorrow, fear, whatever. But it always ends with a praise declaration. If you look at any of them, they always end with a declaration that only God is the rescuer. Only he can do something about the situation. So when we look at the Psalms of Lament, and I got this from one of the websites, most Psalms of Lament have six parts to them. There are six clear steps or stages through them. So I'm just going to list them, and then we're going to look at a psalm together so we can see how that actually plays out in demonstration. So the first thing that happens in the Psalms of Lament is an address. The psalmist talks to God. They're not crying out to somebody else. They're not talking to their best friend, which is never a bad thing to do. But in the Psalms, the psalmist is crying out to God. They are addressing their distress to God. That's the first thing that happens. Second thing is, there is a complaint. They express, honestly express what their trouble is or what their problem is and why they need God's help. So there's a complaint. Thirdly, there's an expression of trust. The psalmist quickly expresses their trust in God. This is why they are asking for his help, because they know that he's the only one who can do something about it. Number four, deliverance. The psalmist cries out to God for deliverance from the situation that they've described in their complaint. So it's like, God, I've told you this. This is the situation. I'm crying. I need you to come and help me, rescue me, deliver me from this. And then number five is assurance. The psalmist expresses their assurance that God will deliver. Because I'm crying out to you, God, because I know that you are my helper. I know that you are my deliverer. And for me, when I read that, it's almost like, well, who are they telling? They're reminding themselves that God is their deliverer, that he is going to do something about it. That's who they're telling. That they don't have to remind God. He knows he's the one who can help them. But sometimes we have to speak to ourselves. Yeah. And even some of the Psalms say that, why so downcast within me, O my soul? Put your trust in God. I can't remember which psalm it is, but it's one of my favorites. I just love that, how the psalmist says to themselves, come on, get a grip. Look to God. He's the one who can do this. Don't just wallow in the sorrow. Cry out to God, because he can rescue you. So number five is assurance. And number six is praise, because the Psalms all end in an offering of praise, of thanksgiving and offering to God for his blessing, for his help, for his rescues of the past, or an expression of faith for his help that is to come. Now, that doesn't always mean that everything's going to work out beautifully, that there are not going to be any more difficulties, or that they're going to feel great at the end of it. You might still feel actually in a place of distress at the end. But because you declare your faith in God and you proclaim God is the one you're looking to, then there is that release, there is that sense of peace that comes, even if it's just in that moment, because you're still in a difficult situation. Situation doesn't disappear just like that. But God changes how we feel, our perspective on the situation, because we've taken our eyes off ourselves and we've put our eyes on him. We gain fresh strength to endure the things that can't be changed. So those 6 points are there. There's a simpler way of looking at it, which is maybe easier to remember. Just four things. Turn, in other words, turn to God, complain, tell him what the problem is, ask him for help, and trust him to help. So that, for me, that's a little bit simpler to remember. Turn, complain, ask, and trust. And that, I guess that looks like it's just a prayer, isn't it? God, I'm coming to you today. I need your help. This is the situation. Please, will you come and help me? Thank you. I trust you that you're going to help me. It's as simple as that. So we're going to look at Psalm 86 together. We're going to look at the 6-part structure that we see. Yeah, I'm going to do a screen share. Hopefully this will work. Good. Because I still wanted to be able to see you. We had a bit of a practice with this yesterday to try and work out how to do the whole dual thing. So this is Psalm 86. Now, I guess this is a very, it's quite a generic psalm. It's not very specific in terms of it was written. It could have been written by David at many points in his life. There isn't a particular situation that he's referring to here. All the research shows that this is just a prayer of David that he could have written at many different points in his life, because he had many different times of need. So for me, I think this is quite a helpful psalm because we can all relate to having difficult times. This is not when David's running away from somebody who's trying to kill him, because that's not really an experience, I guess, that we'll have. But we all have difficult times where we need to cry out to God. So I've highlighted, as you can see, the different steps and stages as we go through the psalm. Psalm verse 1, hear me, Lord, and answer me. Clearly, David is talking to God there. So that it's not, this is not complicated, guys. You might think, oh, that's a bit simple. It is. It's not difficult. Can everybody see that okay? Yeah. So hear me, Lord, and answer me. David is addressing God. He knows who he needs to speak to get help. For I am poor and needy. I mean, that could cover a multitude of things. And these are not necessarily words that we'll have to use. These are examples of words that we can use. It's just a, Lord, I'm just feeling really, I'm really struggling with this situation today. I just feel really weak and I need your help. That might be the way that I say, for I am poor and needy, because I probably wouldn't say, for I am poor and needy. I might feel a sense of poverty in my situation or feelings. So, and then he's saying, God, my life, I'm faithful to you. It's like reminding God of who he is and asking God for mercy and help. clearly, verse 4, the third point, trust, Lord, for I put my trust in you. It's just a simple declaration. It's not complicated. It's not difficult to see. And then again, for you are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. That's why I'm calling to you. That's why I'm putting my trust in you, because I know you are forgiving and good, that you are rich in love and mercy and you want to help me. Number 4, deliverance in verse 6 onwards. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. I often use that as an expression. Lord, ask for your mercy. The ladies will know when we're praying together, I'll often ask God for mercy in a situation. Lord, will you do something? Will you just move in with your power? These people are desperate, or we are desperate, or whatever. We need your help. We need your deliverance. David's verse 7, when I'm in distress, I call to you because you answer me. He knows where he needs to go for help. Mm-hmm. He knows that God is the one and we can depend on. Verse 8 onwards, this whole section here is about assurance. This is where David is just saying, this is why I'm putting my trust in you. And again, for me, it's a reminder to David himself, because among the gods, there is no one like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. I mean, those kinds of words for me, just, it's like I take a just deep breath out and just go, oh, thank you, God. This is who you are. This is why I can put my trust in you. This is why I can bring my distress. This is why I can come to you for help and deliverance, because this is who you are. And I love that. I love that. Just gives me such peace. And that assurance, I think, is the right word to use there. Actually, it does give me assurance that actually the God I'm looking to, it's this God. There is no other God like our God. And then this part of the psalm ends, verse 12. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. So David's praising God for what he's already done, for who he is. I will praise you with all of my heart, with all that I am, with all that I have. I'm going to praise you because you are great. So there's that praise declaration at the end of this section. Now, there's another 4 verses or so for this psalm, and you see the same pattern carried through in that second section, which I haven't put on the screen. So I hope that is quite easy to see where those 6 stages come in. So now we're going to have a go into breakout rooms. The lament prayers are used on the basis of our theology. We see throughout the lament prayers how David knows God, and that's why David is able to speak how he speaks. And God has used David's expression, David's relationship with God, David's knowledge of God to write down the Psalms like that, to inspire him to write those words in order to help us. So our understanding of God and our experience of God, for me personally, helps me to express myself like that towards God. It helps me to trust him because I know he's trustworthy, and because I read in the Bible the stories multiple times when God is trusted and follows through, you know, is faithful to what he says and to what he said he's going to do. So that understanding of God, that knowledge and experience of God, should help us to trust God with the deepest things of our lives, with the times of our distress, as well as with the good parts of our lives, the happy times and things. And as followers of Jesus, we can cry out to God in our pain. We can tell him of our situations. We can ask for his help. And we can choose to trust him. That's our choice. Do I choose to trust God with my heart, with my distresses? Because of what we see in the Bible, we know that we can trust him. And because we are followers of Jesus, we believe what the Bible says. We believe what we see of God in the Bible. We're putting our trust in him. And that the Bible clearly shows us multiple times, hundreds of stories, that God can handle things that are impossible for us to handle. And that means he can handle the things that I'm going through. So that helps me to put my trust in him. I found this little quote on a website that I was reading, just give me some of the background, that lament is proof of our relationship with God, that it's not just about have a theology, have a knowledge of, like, an understanding, like a head knowledge, if you like, an intellectual knowledge of God. That's one thing. But because I know God, then I can be honest with him. I can be me. I don't have to attend anything. I don't have to form any particular religious ceremony or anything to come before him. I can read what the Bible says, and I can just come as I am. And the Bible tells me that God is my heavenly Father. He is the one who sent his only son to die for me because he loved me so much, even before I was created. God knew I was going to be created. He knew I was going to be here. He knew I was going to need Jesus, and he loved me so much. All those, like, centuries down the line, knew that I was going to be here, that he sent Jesus to die for me because he loves me. And that just speaks so much of my relationship with God. I am his child. He is my loving heavenly Father. I don't need to be afraid of him. I don't need to hide anything from him. I don't need to pretend anything. I just can come as I am. And he loves me just because he loves me, because he created me. I don't have to do anything or be anything. I'm just loved because I exist. And we're all like that. I'm nothing different to anybody else. He is our heavenly Father. We are his children, and he wants to help us, because that's what good dads do. And he's the best, isn't he? So turning to God in our times of distress, frustration, sorrow, confusion, dissatisfaction, whatever it is, fear, whatever, is a good thing to do. And I love to read the Psalms because I love David's honesty. I love to see his heartfelt expressions. His declarations of faith help me to declare my faith in God in the difficult times. And the Psalms of Lament have helped me in all of the difficult times, but I'm just going to talk about one particular time. So, as many of you will know, a couple of years ago, I had a really difficult time, and ended up being diagnosed with depression and anxiety. Which was a very strange thing for me, because I'm not an anxious person generally. I'm very much I trust God with life. I trust God with my everyday. But this was something really different. When I was in that dark place, because it really felt like a dark place, I really felt like there was a dark cloud just sitting here and I couldn't see anything else. It was horrible. I couldn't find the words to pray at all. In fact, I barely found the words to speak to anybody, did I? I sat for many long hours in silence, which I'm sure you'll all realise was a very strange thing for me because I don't do silence very well. Anyway, that was a sign of my distress, of my difficult time and place that I was in. I just couldn't speak, barely spoke to anybody, and I just didn't know how to pray. And I felt really lost in myself. I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't recognise myself. Just didn't know who I was anymore. It was a really horrible time. But because I've read the Bible, and because the Bible is very much part of my life, even in that dark place, I knew there were words in the Psalms that would help me to just express something of how I was towards God. And so sometimes when I read my Bible, I'm just going to get through this. I'm an overcomer. I can do this. God, we're in this together. Because I just was not in that. I just had no strength to even think like that. So there were times when I just couldn't pick up my Bible. I just had nothing in me to do that. And then there were times when I knew that if I picked up my Bible, there would be those words that would help me. So I would read the Psalms. And sometimes there would be the Psalms of lament. And sometimes there would be other Psalms that would really just lift me a little bit inside. Sometimes the Psalms of Lament, when I read them, I would just read them silently inside myself. I couldn't even speak them out loud, but I would weep. The tears would just roll down my face because I would find that within me, I was connecting with those words. Within me, there was that, God, these words are expressing something of what I feel that I can't even verbalize. I can't speak these words out. But this is the cry of my heart. These words are the cry of my heart. And so sometimes I just sat and wept as I read them and as I could see myself in them. They helped me in my heart, even though I couldn't speak them, cry out for help at that time. Other times I spoke them out loud. And when I'm praying, actually I love to look at the clouds. I love that we have big windows in our dining room. And I love to look at the clouds because that, I can picture God. I think that just helps me to connect with God. So sometimes I would read them out loud and talk to the clouds, knowing that God was up there beyond the clouds. And they encouraged me, those as I spoke them out loud. Obviously, they were then going back into my ears. Somebody once said, when you read out loud, it's kind of you're hearing it twice because you're reading the words. But as you speak them out loud, you're hearing them because they're going into your ears. And then they can go down. For me, that's how it works. They go deeper into my own life. And so they worked as an encouragement, as a support, as an expression to me, to God, that God knew me, that God was listening to me, and that he was with me in that dark and difficult time. So then as time went on, and as I know many people were praying for me, these Psalms, all of the Psalms, but the Psalms of Lament really helped me to pour out my heart to God. And they helped me to develop a greater faith and trust in God, because that's what the Lament Psalms do. They start with that distress. They declare why they're trusting in God. And then there's that praise at the end of, God, you are awesome. You are mighty and worth putting our trust in. And so my faith grew and my trust in God grew stronger through that. And I grew stronger and obviously came out of the other side of that. And the important thing is that we understand that it's okay to express our distress with one another. That's actually a good thing to do, because when we do that, we can gain support and help from one another. We can get prayer, help and support from one another. When people know that we're in a place of distress, then they know how to pray for us and to support us. But when we express it to God, things can change. We can be changed. Because it's something completely different. Because only He can do something about it. Sometimes He changes the situation that we're in, and He rescues us, and we're in the situation changes miraculously. Sometimes He changes us within the situation. That doesn't change very quickly. It's something we have to just go through. He changes us in that. And sometimes He simply reassures us that He's with us in that time as we go through it and as we come out the other side. And I think for me, that I think I saw elements of all of those. Obviously, the situation changed over time. I'm not still in that place of depression and anxiety. Rears its head a little sometimes. But I'm not in that dark place anymore. God has rescued me out of that. And I know that I was changed through that. I was changed in my emotions. I was changed in my understanding of myself. I was changed in my recognition of my own needs. I was changed in my trust in God. My faith in God absolutely grew in that time because I knew that He was with me every step of the way. And I absolutely loved that. It was a horrible time to go through. But actually, I'm thankful for it now because I'm changed. And I didn't really know that I needed to be changed. But now looking back, I know I needed to be changed. And God used that situation, however hard and dark it was, He used it, and He has already brought good into my life through that. So, you know, we all go through difficult and distressing times in life. None of us is exempt. And this year especially, we've had those times. I don't suppose any of us has been immune to times of sorrow, sadness, loneliness, just feeling a bit flat, a bit down, whatever, frustrated, many other emotions and difficulties. But God is with us through it all and in it all. Okay. Just going to finish there. We'll just have a few. I just want to, can we just all close our eyes? I'm going to go lead us through a little time of reflection about this, about how we are in our expressing our hearts towards God. You might want to turn off your video, or turn the video screen away from you. That's absolutely fine, because this is just a time between you and God. I'm going to ask a couple of questions for us to think about. I don't want anybody to answer them out loud. This is just your personal time with God. So shall we just pray to start with? Father God, I want to thank You that You are the God who sees us, God who knows everything about us, God who understands everything about us, who accepts and welcomes the outpourings of our hearts. In fact, I think You see them as treasure. They are precious to You, the outpourings of our hearts, because they remind You and they speak to You of our relationship with You, that we have put ourselves in the place of being Your children, of being Your people. We belong to You. Lord, help us just to be open with our hearts, to acknowledge our emotions, our sorrows, sadnesses, distresses, frustrations, fears, anxieties, to face them ourselves and to bring them to You in honesty and in trusting that You will help us through them. Thank You, Lord. So just a couple of things to think about for yourself right now. How am I at expressing my emotions to God? Is it something that I do at all? Am I like an open book before God? Or do I close my heart off from him? Do I trust God with the deepest parts of my heart? However we are, it's between us and God. But I hope from today and looking at these Psalms of Lament, from hearing a little bit of my story, we can all see the benefit and the importance of being open and honest with God. That we can trust him to help us in our times of need.